Once again, let's begin this hour with a statement, a pretty interesting statement from David Cameron, the Conservative Prime Minister in Britain, talking about one tool that might be used to combat or at least react to the serious rioting that unfolded this week across the UK. Here's David Cameron.
Free flow of information can be used for good, but it can also be used for ill. So we are working with the police, the intelligence services and industry to look at whether it would be right to stop people communicating via these websites and services when we know they are plotting criminality.
Two issues there. Stop people from communicating, which would mean shutting down social networking sites on some level or individual accounts. But also, when we know they are planning criminality, in that quote suggests that Scotland Yard would be monitoring those sites in some much more aggressive way based on what happened this week in London and around the UK. Jeff Jarvis joins us, journalism professor at the City University of New York and author of the upcoming book, Public Parts. He's on the line from Orlando, Florida. Jeff, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, John.
All right. Did you hear a milestone, a watershed moment for the internet in the statement from David Cameron? This isn't the Chinese leadership talking here. This isn't the Kim Jong-il. There's a different tradition of censorship and the First Amendment in Britain. But nevertheless, what did you hear there?
Well, I did hear what you just said, that there was a danger here of Britain looking too much like Saudi Arabia controlling BlackBerry or China controlling Google search. Part of the problem here, I think, is that people look at the internet as if it's a medium like the one we're on right now. And in Britain, they like to regulate media. But it's not a medium. It's a communications tool, just like a telephone or just like the street, where people can stand up and talk. And so this is really about restricting free speech.
And it's all about assembling sort of coalitions of the powerful to basically look at the people who are using these tools. For instance, Home Secretary Theresa May in Britain is calling for actual meetings with executives from BlackBerry, Twitter, and Facebook to talk about what they could all do cooperatively to prevent this from happening again. It reminds me a little bit of the Bush administration getting together with Verizon and some of the cell phone companies in the United States to monitor the flow of information in the U.S. post 9/11. They can make that kind of a deal in Britain, can't they, Jeff?
Yes, they're also talking about taking down offending pictures, and that is censoring content. What we're seeing here, John, I think, is that an effort to look around for the boogeyman who's causing all this, and you're looking for something new, and technology is new. Technology causes change. It causes fear, going back to the Gutenberg press, and that's what's happening here. But it would be a big mistake setting a horrible precedent for a free nation like Britain to decide to restrict the speech of others, especially because these tools, as he even said, are used for good. People used Twitter and BlackBerry and so on to find each other and help each other during the riots and to organize cleanups afterwards.
Well, maybe
there's another interesting thing happening here, which
yeah,
is
go ahead.
The other thing Cameron said is that he wants to give police the authority to require people in the streets when violence breaks out not to wear masks or hoodies. So there's kind of a burqa ban, now there's a hoodie ban being contemplated. And what I find fascinating about this is that it's an effort to ban anonymity. And we have a lot of talk going on online right now about people being anonymous online and the need for that in certain cases for whistleblowers and people who are vulnerable and so on. But when you're in public, what you do in public is public. And so by making people unmask themselves in public, and there's also suggestions of spraying them with indelible ink, it takes away any idea that you can be anonymous in public on the streets as well.
Although we're probably already beyond that with the number of cameras that exist in London and across the UK and that are growing here in the United States, and using those cameras to basically put people at the site of rioting and then prosecute on the basis of those cameras. I mean, that's straight out of 1984, and here we are, 2011. That era, it seems to me, is over. Jeff, one point that I definitely wanted to make with you on this segment is that we can talk in dizzying kind of, weepy terms about, you know, people using Twitter to cause a revolution in Egypt, right?
Yeah.
And then this happens in Britain, and you hear people talking like this. Here's a fellow from the United States where I believe we do have a tradition of the First Amendment.
This is Walter from Arkansas. Yes, I think they need to put some more regulations on these type of websites for them to get together like they did and cause these riots, and they could happen in the United States easy, since there's hardly any morals and ethics anymore amongst a lot of young people.
Jeff Jarvis, you can't have it both ways. If Twitter is going to work to bring down the Mubarak regime, it's also going to have to be free for hooligans in Britain. Yes? No?
Yes, you can have it both ways. You must have it both ways. That's what free speech is. That's why we defend the speech even of the venomous here in the United States, because we defend the speech of all. When anyone's speech is restricted, everyone's speech is restricted. You know, back to the Gutenberg Press. After the Bible, the first things that were printed on the press were political tracts for both sides, and it was the beginning of propaganda. These tools are all neutral. They can be used for good or for bad. But to strike at one bad use and kill the tool is short-sighted and really, really dangerous for a free society.
It's Jeff Jarvis, journalism professor at the City University of New York, author of the upcoming book Public Parts, talking about that old texter Gutenberg, right, Jeff? So what's your fix? I mean, they're gonna do something over there in Britain. What's your fix?
My fix is to defend free speech and recommend a First Amendment to them. I think this would be short-sighted and ridiculous, and there is a furor going on over what Cameron said. There's a lot of people who are upset there as well as here. And so I think that what we – you know, here's the thing, John. There are acts that are against the law already. Just because you do them on new tools doesn't mean that those tools should be suspect or should be restricted or regulated in new ways.
But conspiracy is illegal.
It already is.
All right. So conspiracy online is illegal.
And if you tweet in public or stand on the street in public and either use your speech for good or use it for ill and some illegal act, in both cases, you can be arrested for that illegal act and authorities can see it happening.
So you would be opposed to any sort of prior restraint, but you would be absolutely aggressive about prosecuting people who use speech to cause social unrest.
I would use the same laws the way they are already being used, yes. The point is we don't need to create new laws for technology. It's an effort to control this beast that people don't understand yet. And I want the people, I want all of us to be able to have full use and control of this and to resist this kind of regulation and to do it on the basis of larger principles.
All right, Jeff Jarvis, journalism professor at the City University of New York and author of the upcoming book Public Parts, discussing the discussion that's going on in the UK about possible prior restraint or censorship of social networking sites. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, John.